Tomorrow, the State Department will issue its annual report on human trafficking. It details efforts to stop the illegal trade in human beings by 140 countries around the world, including the United States. In the year 2000, Congress passed a law making human trafficking a federal crime. The legislation was a response to a growing problem: men, women, and children brought to the U.S. and forced into commercial sex, farm, factory, and domestic work. Congress has provided funds to protect the victims and to punish the traffickers, and the Bush administration is making enforcement a priority, as NPR's Libby Lewis reports.
Picture a twin bed in a small room in Florida, where a 14-year-old Mexican girl was held in captivity.
In this bed, she was forced to have sex with up to 30 men per day, day after day. It's the same bed where she slept.
Alexander Acosta is the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights at the Justice Department. He's in charge of prosecuting federal trafficking cases like this one.
Next to the bed, there is a nightstand, and on the nightstand, there's a teddy bear. And she kept that teddy bear to remind her that she was still a little girl. When you picture that in your mind, that's when you begin to understand what human trafficking is really about.
The world of human trafficking is a world of fear and coercion, sometimes violence, and always money. Experts say it could be the third most profitable illegal trade behind drugs and arms. Organized crime plays a role, especially in commercial sex trafficking. The victims here come from all over the world: Southeast Asia and the Pacific, Central and Latin America, Eastern Europe. Some get here illegally through Mexico and Canada. Others come with tourist or work visas. They wind up all over the U.S. Alex Acosta says many of the women who are trafficked in the U.S. come here with the promise of better lives.
I recently visited India to look into the conditions that some of these girls were in before they were trafficked to the United States. And you walk the streets of Mumbai, and you go to an area called Kamatipura, and you see that there are approximately 60,000 girls, and I mean girls, some, they must be 10, 11 years old, living in the streets, using sex as a way to make what little money they can to just escape, and they're looking for any way to leave, to get a better life. And when they're offered the opportunity to come to the United States, they grab it, and they don't realize that when they're coming here, it's really not an opportunity for them, but it's a ticket into slavery.
Sex trafficking in particular is an issue that's captured the attention of the Bush administration. It's a hot issue for evangelical Christians and some feminists and human rights groups alike. As for the victims, it's hard to find them, hard to help them, hard to get their help in prosecuting the traffickers. Acosta says the Justice Department is turning more to local and state law enforcement to help investigate trafficking cases. And it's also relying on non-governmental organizations, or NGOs.
The reality is many of these victims come from countries where they don't trust law enforcement. And rather than turn to police, they will often turn to faith-based groups, to their parish priest. They will often turn to community groups, immigrant rights groups, and they'll turn to NGOs. And so we will rely on whoever we need to get information about who these victims are and where they are.
Acosta says the government is open to working with different kinds of groups to help identify traffickers to see what works. The Polaris Project is one of those groups based here in the nation's capital. It's getting nearly $200,000 in congressional funds, with more federal funds in sight.
This is what we call our war room. This is the main room where our task force is based.
Derek Ellerman is co-director of Polaris.
What we have on the walls are maps of the greater D.C. area, and they have pins that mark the locations of what we consider high-risk brothel locations, where trafficking either does take place or where we believe it may take place.
Ellerman is earnest, soft-spoken, 25 years old. He points to the map where the highest concentration of pens are in downtown Washington, D.C. These are brothels that Polaris targets because it believes that some of the Korean and Latina women there could be victims of trafficking.
If you look just in the area around the White House, we have probably 20 different locations in this radius, stretching up to about DuPont Circle and over, just about to the Capitol. Most of the customers of those brothels are people who work in the area. They're professionals.
They work in government?
Lots of government officials. All the time we see men walking into the brothels, sometimes even wearing their government tags. They'll walk straight out of their offices, around the corner and in, wearing their government tags. We see people with diplomatic plates all the time go in, and then people just from around will come into the downtown area.
In the 18 months it has been in existence, Polaris says it's helped identify victims in some state criminal cases, but no federal trafficking cases yet. The D.C. police work with Polaris on a local task force on human trafficking. They take Polaris with them on raids of suspected commercial sex networks to try to find out whether the women might be victims of trafficking. Polaris has staff and volunteers who speak Korean, Thai, Chinese, and Spanish. On their own, they walk into the brothels and look for possible trafficking victims. On one afternoon, we went with Polaris and one of their Korean interpreters as they made the rounds to several brothels in D.C. We stop at one where they've been before. One of Polaris's young staffers walks into the brothel. He's wearing a shirt and tie, like a client or a missionary.
Many of the younger women have illegal status. Many of them are naive. They have not been in the sex industry before and do not expect to have to do commercial sexual acts with the customers. And they're very much targeted by the brothel keepers because they know that if they rob them or they know if they cheat them out of money, they can't go anywhere. They can't go to the police because they're illegal. They don't speak the language. They have no social support network. And very often they'll be in places as far away as, you know, Elkhart, Indiana, or some place in North Carolina or in Georgia or in Texas. And so extremely isolated. And many of them actually live at the actual location, so they literally never leave as long as they're there.
Polaris finds ways, some overt, some covert, to give the women Polaris's hotline number to call for help. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between women who are willing prostitutes and the women who are forcibly trafficked. Like other groups in favor with the Bush administration and conservative Republicans on Capitol Hill, Polaris believes that prostitution, as well as sex trafficking, should be abolished. The task of combating human trafficking outside the U.S. is led by John Miller. He heads the State Department's Office to Monitor and Combat Trafficking in Persons. He says the numbers of people thought to be trafficked are really guesses. The current estimate is 17,500 men, women, and children who are being held against their will in the U.S.
Personally, the estimate may be on the low side rather than the high side. But again, very difficult to calculate because victims don't stand in line and raise their hands.
Tomorrow, the State Department releases its latest report on trafficking in persons. Miller says it will be a report card of sorts, praising governments that are fighting trafficking and hammering those that aren't.
Last year was the first year that there was the potential of sanctions. And it's interesting what happened. Two of our allies, Greece and Turkey, undertook some very substantial and significant efforts. Everything from public service announcements warning victims to law enforcement training courses in Turkey, setting up special anti-trafficking police units, which is good.
Good, he says, because the aim is to free slaves and throw the traffickers in jail. In the past few years, the U.S. has prosecuted 149 people for trafficking, two-thirds of them for sex trafficking. As for the trafficking victims, who were once deported, they can now be considered as refugees. Libby Lewis, NPR News, Washington.
Our story on human trafficking was produced by Devar Ardalan.